This year, All Saints Day occurs on a Sunday, so we get the privilege of celebrating All Saints for our Sunday Mass today. And there's so much that we could talk about, from the example that the lives of the saints give us to the intercession that they offer us. But what I'd like to focus on this morning is the communion that we have with the saints. So this is one of the things that the Catechism talks about, the communion of saints. And this is what it says. Exactly as Christian communion among our fellow pilgrims brings us closer to Christ, so our communion with the saints joins us to Christ. I'll say that again. Exactly as Christian communion among our fellow pilgrims brings us closer to Christ, so our communion with the saints joins us to Christ. It's a pretty powerful statement, and I think it is really helpful to us, especially if we're wondering why the saints are a big deal in our church, or if we have friends who question why we as Catholics have a devotion to the saints. I think this really helps us because we understand, I think, that we need people in our life to accompany us on our journey to Christ. I never would be a Christian, much less a priest, if it weren't for the example and companionship of living Christians around me, especially my parents, but also my aunts and uncles when I was growing up, my friends in high school and college. And this companionship and friendship continues today through my close priest friends and through my friendships with lay people and with religious like Mother Mary Claire, who we're so happy to welcome home today. And I think we get this, that no person is an island. We cannot walk the journey of faith alone, and everyone needs to be accompanied as they follow Jesus. And this is precisely why Christ founded the church. He could have said, well, I'll give you this book, and then you go and read it alone in your room, and that's how you're going to meet me. It's not what he says. He founded a church upon the foundation of those first 12 disciples, with many other disciples gathered around them, and through them the church grew. So no one was ever walking alone, but only and always together towards Jesus. So this is what we call the communion of the church. And this communion comes from Christ, who lives within us through our baptism. So it's Christ. This isn't just some club that we have with we all have similar interests. Like we might like to get together once a week, and once in a while we get to have incense when we get together. It's not a club that we have, but it's actually a bond that we have in Jesus. And this comes through our baptism and confirmation, but it's strengthened every time we receive Holy Communion. And here's the thing that we don't often think about, is that this communion that we have in the church isn't just with the living, but it's such a powerful communion that it's not broken in death, and that all of the people whom Christ claims as his own, whether they be the souls who are in the process of being purified after their death, or the ones who, having been purified, are already in glory, having reached their final destiny, our true home, which is in heaven. So this is why in the communion of the church, which we have with one another, this is why we still have a connection with our deceased loved ones and relatives, and why it makes a difference when we pray for them, because our prayers benefit them, because we're connected to them still in Jesus. This is actually what we commemorate tomorrow on November 2nd, All Souls Day. So it's why we have a connection with souls being purified, but it's also why we have a connection with the saints and why the saints are present with us here and now. We share a bond with them. They can hear us and they can present our needs to God from the privileged place of heaven, which is why their prayers are so efficacious to us. This is something that Pope Benedict XVI would often talk about. He would say that because the saints are in God, which is simply what it means to be in heaven, to be in heaven simply means to be in God, it means that they're no longer limited by space and time like we are here on earth, and that therefore they can hear everyone who is speaking to them. So if a million people at one time is asking Saint Therese for her help, she hears them as if each is speaking individually to her, and she loves and prays for each one individually as if they were the only one speaking and praying to her. So on this earth, our heart's capacity to love is limited. This is really because of our sinfulness, that over the course of our life, we have to rid out of our life. But what happens is that as we grow more in God, our hearts become expanded so that we can love more and more. And in heaven, our hearts will have no limitation on their ability to love, which is why the saints can love each one of us perfectly and at the same time, as if we were the only person that they were thinking about or loving or praying for. So, I want to go back to that line that I repeated at the beginning. Exactly as Christian communion among our fellow pilgrims brings us closer to Christ, so our communion with the saints joins us to Christ. And so if our communion here on earth calls us to be friends and companions of others, whether we like each other or not, we're still called to be friends and companions with one another because we share a real bond in Jesus and the church. So as we're called to be friends and companions with one another here, the saints want to be our friends and companions as well. For example, before Saint Dominic died, he said to his brothers, who were so sad about his leaving them, he said, "Do not weep, for I will be more useful to you after my death, and I shall help you then more effectively than during my life." That indicates an increased connection after death. It's pretty amazing. Dominic said, "I will help you more after I'm gone." Saint Therese of Lisieux also famously said before she died, "I want to spend my heaven doing good on earth." So the church invites us to make friends with the saints, to become friends with them. And this is possible because the saints are not dead, they're alive in God. The saints aren't dead. They're more alive than we are. They experience more life than we do. Because our sins drag us down towards earth and make us less alive. But the closer we are to God, the more alive that we come. So this is why the church encourages us to read about the lives of the saints. The church encourages us to have devotions to them. That's why we have statues and sacred images of the saints, to get to know the saints on a personal level. This is why the church assigns patron saints to us, to different groups or places to help us out. If you're wondering who your patron saint could be, I checked on Wikipedia this morning. There's a really extensive list of patron saints, even on Wikipedia. So for instance, Saint Matthew is my personal patron saint because he's my name, but he's also the patron saint of bookkeepers, accountants, bankers. A great modern saint is Saint John Imola, who was a mother, a young mother, and a medical doctor. Another modern saint, Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati, is patron saint of young people. Saint Augustine is the patron saint of brewers of beer. So whoever we are, we can find someone in heaven who wants to be our friend. They're so happy when we make friends with them. In my life, I've felt really blessed to encounter the saints in different ways, and through these encounters, I've really desired to be friends with them. I remember being very struck by a religious sister who was a co-worker in a Catholic school I used to teach at, and she's telling me how her parents named her after the saint of the day. And the saint of the day, when she was born, it was September 30th, and that's the memorial of Saint Jerome. And all I knew was her religious name, which is Saint Christella. I was thinking, oh my gosh, they didn't name you Jerome, did they? But they named her Jeremy. And she's a Filipina sister, and so Jeremy is kind of a normal Filipina form of Jerome. But anyway, so then I said, well, do you know much about him? And she just looked at me and said, he's my friend. I know him. And I was so struck by that, because up until that point, I just thought that the saints were people that we uttered a prayer here and there to, but this helped me to realize that the saints are alive, more alive than we are, and actually want to become friends with us. One of the great blessings of my life was being able to study theology in Italy for 5 years, and I made this a point to visit the tombs of as many saints as I could, to try to become friends with as many saints as I could. I remember one time being really just feeling a lot of temptations, and I visited the church of Santa Maria de Sopra Minerva, which has the body of Saint Catherine of Siena, and I just knelt down before a tomb, and I didn't even know what I was doing, but I just said, please help me with these temptations, and they vanished, and I'll never forget that. They lifted as if someone had lifted them out of me, and someone did lift them out of me. A couple years later, then I was studying Italian in Siena, where she's from and where her head is. That's the subject of another homily. But anyway, I had done pretty significant damage to a rental car, and I was beside myself. I didn't know what to do, and I was in a foreign country that I didn't yet feel perfectly comfortable with. So I went to St. Catherine, because she had been a mother to me before, and I just thought, I need my mother now. And so I found it still cost me 250 euro, but I felt much more peace after seeking her out and her friendship. I think, brothers and sisters, we can fall into the temptation of believing that the closer we become to God, the less and less interesting life is. But the saints teach us the opposite. And I think this has probably been the fruit of my devotion to the saints, is seeing the saints, we see how alive they are. And the more and more Christ comes to live within us, the more and more alive we're going to become too. The more vibrant our personality is going to be, the more interesting life is going to become, the adventure that life is with God. St. Francis of Assisi, for instance, just a few years after he left the worldliness of his life and family business, thousands of young Italian men had come out to the forest to live in community and to beg and to pray with him. because of how attractive he was. Coming closer to God makes us the person who God created us to be, more attractive, not less. If we think that holiness makes us less attractive, we don't have very good examples then. Authentic holiness, authentic life in Christ means that we become more who we are, not less, more alive, not less, more attractive to others and not less. So today we give thanks for the witness of the saints, and we so ask them for their friendship and accompaniment for us through this very difficult life where there's so many pressures and tensions, so many fears and anxieties. May they point us to the true way forward, which is always and only Jesus. May they give us hope that life is so much better with him.